All right, I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, please take the roll.
Commissioner Micklig?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Solomon?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Excused. Please rise. Join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of Thursday, November 8th, 2012. Any additions, comments, modifications? If not, is there a motion to approve?
Move approval.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Before I go any further, before I forget, I'd like to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and hopefully we will have a better year next year than we've had this year.
Some of us will.
Okay, item three, public hearings and business items, Quick Trip, Inc., Menards, Inc. I think I saw in the audience today Alderman Skrowski. I believe this is in your district, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Deedle.
We have a public hearing that Nick can read.
Right. Mr. Fuchs, you please read the public notice.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, December 20th, 2012 at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Quick Trip, Inc. for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 5541, Gasoline Service Stations, to allow for a gasoline service station, convenience store, and car wash use upon property zoned M1 Limited Industrial District, located at approximately 10750 West Speedway Drive.
All right. Any comments? Or I think we want to have the applicant come up and show us the project. We did have a concept review. My recollection is the council was for the most part, very supportive. I know I think the alderman for the district was very supportive of the project. And then there was at least one alderman that was not supportive at all of the project. So I see you again.
See you, Mayor. My name is Troy Molezeva, real estate manager with Quick Trip, 1626 Oak Street, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Thanks again for coming out on this less than ideal weather evening.
By the way, I was going to cancel the meeting, but if we had done that, this would have thrown Quick Trip and everybody back a few more weeks. So we want to try and be as business friendly as we can.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Just like to start my overall proposal and description of the project with we're proposing to build a LEED certified convenience store, car wash, and fueling operation at this facility. I guess my understanding is that this may, in fact, be the first LEED certified building.
We think so.
In the city. Our protocol would be to certify this site. Each site is rated independently, incorporating building elements, site design elements, and then apply to the U.S. Green Building Council for that rating and certification. Typically, we receive between a certified status or a silver status on our projects. What we're proposing, you would see, would be located in I'm going to call the outlots in front of Menards, the old Speedway site. The back or east of the site faces Highway 100, and the west or left of the site plan faces Speedway Drive, and across Speedway Drive is the parking lot for Menards. To the south is the Waterstone Bank facility, and then to the north is more the outlots that Menards has for sale, and then north of that is the Dillard Ford facility. What you see here would be the building itself about 5,800 square feet, a car wash facility itself about 2,800 square feet with two bays that would offer either a soft touch wash or the water water-only wash. That's available as an option in either bay of those car washes. The building itself is a mainly brick building with stucco accents. The roof elements are standing seam metal. It's actually a flat roof building with a parapet wall that comes up the side, so the mechanicals are all screened in that kind of bathtub on the roof, if you will. And one of the features we have in the building that helps us with our green technologies is several solar tubes in that flat roof. On a sunny day, unlike today, you walk in the store and you'll see light fixtures that look like fluorescent fixtures, but they're really skylights and solar tubes. Other features in the property, concrete instead of asphalt paving, again, standing seam metal on the roof instead of shingles, high-efficiency water, high-efficiency electrical systems, low-E glass, things along that line. We even actually are proposing a hybrid vehicle charging station on the site. And obviously, the requisite landscaping, a bike parking rack, accessibility from at the current time would be proposed for pedestrians across Speedway Drive. And eventually, when Highway 100 is rebuilt with the DOT, we're proposing a connection out there as well for the future sidewalks. So trying to make the site accessible from not only vehicles, but also bikes and pedestrians as well. The rendering that you see over there is a artist's rendition of kind of what the view would be, more or less, from Speedway Drive. The driveway you see at the bottom would be the driveway into Waterstones drive-through, and obviously the fuel canopy, the building itself, and then the car wash in the background. Those are my simple comments and presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I got a couple questions. When we first met, I asked you if you would be willing to go and maybe talk to some of the, well, first of all, the alderman for the district. Second, some of the businesses in the area. I think it is primarily surrounded by businesses. In fact, I don't think there's any residential properties in there except for the condo association. It's pretty far away from there. I think there's the bank, Menards, Hiller Ford, and then all that. Talk to the business owners in the area as to whether they would be willing to support your project and if they thought it was a good idea. I've heard back from them, but I'd like to hear if you actually went and did that.
I did. I met with Hiller Ford, Gus, his restaurant across in the shopping center. I met with the folks at Waterstone Bank. I met with Menards. And they were all very, and also a couple other tenants in the retail center across to the east on Highway 100. And to every person I talked to, they were very supportive of something as this as we proposed it. Discussing with them, coming into the area, providing another retail service in that area.
Yeah, that's the feedback I got. I just went to the our fire chief's retirement party at Gus's, and there's from what I heard, there is overwhelming support for this. They welcome additional traffic coming into the area because they're having a difficult time. Many of those businesses trying to stay afloat during these tough economic times. When a person's, if in fact this passes, when a person is fueling their car or whatever, they're going to just naturally turn to the right, and maybe for the first time they're going to look up and see, oh, there's a Mexican restaurant up there, there's Rosati's is up there, Jumpstart is up there. Because when they built that retail center, it's way up on a hill and it's way in the back and it tilts to the back. So people just keep driving right past, never realizing that the shopping center's up there. So and I also understand Menards and Hiller Ford and all the other businesses are very, very supportive of us. I can either it open up for a public hearing or you know, the commissioners can ask questions. Would you preference me to open it up? Okay. I'm going to open up this item for a public hearing. Are there any parties wishing to speak during the public hearing? If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Kathy Kenneth Skoronsky, 8642 South 116th Street, Alderman, representing the 6th District, which this new development would be in. As the gentleman from Quick Trip mentioned, I did survey all the businesses and also the two residential complex. One is the, or two of them, which is Manchester and Whitnall Point. Whitnall Point has 900 residents in that. I talked to the manager, Loretta Ludwig, and she's in favor of that project. I also talked to some of the residents a little further down from the project, and they're very happy that that's going in. So it is a positive all the way down. Boucher VW is very enthused about it, and so it's a positive all the way down. So I would appreciate your support and approving of this project. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Going once, going twice. Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Deedle, I'll let you take a first stab at it.
Staff is recommending approval of the project. There are a couple of conditions within the special use resolution. No added extra conditions within the CSM itself. For the special use, the conditions include they are identifying an area for outdoor retail sales. And so if they make any changes to that, we're recommending that they have to come back to staff. Also a condition, they do need a parking reduction. And so that's one of the conditions as well. And that they also have the signage, which they have in the packet, that also that signage has to be approved by the Architectural Review Board. We did want to point out, and we do point out in the staff report as well, that we do have a concern that the remaining parcel to the north may be a little bit on a small side when they because they're taking about a third of that parcel and adding it to this one. And it's big enough, it meets all the criteria for that zoning district. But between it being a little bit on the small side and having a number of easements on there, it'll probably be a little bit difficult to develop. So we're only suggesting that they flip the car wash with the parking lot, move the parking lot to the north, and then possibly even move the parking lot and ask for a zero-foot setback so they can put that parking lot all the way to the north so that it would hopefully make it easier for that parcel to the north to develop where they could share parking. So it's only a suggestion. And I guess the only thing else I could mention is it's going to be 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And there's no prohibition for that. I just wanted to mention because there's not too many of those in the city. That was it.
Comments? Mr. Bennett? Mr. Bickley?
Stormwater management, we need a letter from Menards stating that they are granting authority to use the stormwater management that was put in by them. Just so we can be sure that we have sewage district that we have a right to that stormwater.
Mr. Bickley?
A couple things. There is a lot to like about this. The fact that the pumps are in the back of the building, ostensibly the back, if we're going to call Lover's Lane Highway 100 the front. Also, something we have to really be cognizant of when you look at an overhead view of this. There are neighborhoods to the west, and this is going to be a great opportunity to every kid with a bike. They're going to love this. This is what we had in my neighborhood. You go to the Quick Trip, you go to whatever, 24-hour access. So I'm looking at the...
You have a sidewalk access here. Is that correct? That's a sidewalk access. Then the front of the building, the entrance is all here, so this is where people are generally going to be going in. You're going to have bike racks. So, we're going to, on Speedway, which is going to be a not an ironic name after a while, there's going to be a lot of bike traffic on the top. So there's going to be an area here and all along Speedway up to these neighborhoods here where there's going to be a stream of traffic, bikes going back and forth that we never saw before, which is good. I mean, this is going to become a living, breathing, social space for a lot of kids in that neighborhood. The
take for granted, right up here, there's a bunch of people who are going to want to be biking down there. And right over here, there's a bunch of people in Menards who want to go speeding down Menards as fast as they can with a truck full of 2x4s or whatever it is they're buying. So I think we really got to look at what and how this sidewalk is put up, if we can paint this in some way, do something to make this safe. The other thing I'm a little concerned about is, as good as the back looks, the front, what is referred to as the back, is actually what faces Highway 100, Lover's Lane. And across the street, we have the strip mall there with a lot of businesses. And when they come out, if I'm looking at the correct face, what they're going to look at is a brick wall and I think an enclosure for your dumpster. That on the plus side, pumps are in back. That's great. All that kind of traffic is happening in the back. I wish we would have done that with Andy's. On the minus side, what we're presenting to the traffic going by and to the businesses across the street and to the possible, hopefully, pedestrians out there is a blank wall. And I'm wondering if there's anything we can do about that.
Put a window in or something.
I think what we try to do with our everything we're showing on the elevations is actual glass windows, see-through light coming in. What we typically don't do in initial stages is to find out and put in, you know, some people prefer spandrels, some people don't. With the floor plan we have in the building and kind of back of the house areas where you necessarily want to see the back of like racks and things like that. So what we have on that side of the building where you see that gable element is actually a hot beverage area, coffee area, things like that, the fountain sodas. And behind that, we placed picnic tables and have an outdoor seating. You'll make it a patio and a dining area. And obviously, the other part of that back side of the building is also includes kitchen area and coolers and things like that that necessarily, that was kind of the reasoning for it. We, you know, we have to look at adding some spandrel or something in there. That would be the preference of the commission. That's kind of our initial logic of why we have what we have, so to speak.
Well, it seems like because there's the tables back there and everything, there is the germ of an idea there that if someone were, all the traffic going by may see, architecturally, it's just a wall, but socially, the bikes could be parked there. There could be, if people are sitting there, it looks like an active space rather than the back end of a retail outlet. So I would encourage that spot that you do have indicated there, encourage that to be a spot where people can gather. First of all, because it's well lit, it's well trafficked, and people who are going in and out of your store aren't going to be menaced by five or six 14-year-olds who are probably completely, you know, minding their own business, but still it kind of bothers people sometimes. But that area right there might be a valuable area as far as creating where the tables go and things like that. So please keep that in mind.
And that is our plan, and that's kind of what the idea was with that gable area there, kind of to make it the most inviting possible area of the building right there. Or outdoor seating.
And you looked, does that have bike racks on it? On the plan?
Bike rack is
okay. I would agree with John. I think there's going to be a lot of bike traffic down there. I think there's going to be a lot of bike traffic in the whole city when the Rock opens. So kids are going to be riding all over the place. Mr. Ritter?
Just one follow-up on that. My recollection when what is now the Waterstone Bank facility went in was they were supposed to revise the landscaping plan and left enough space to put in another sidewalk on the north side. Having subsequently seen how it got developed, I'm not so sure I was totally confident that landscaping plan ever got revised. And there was supposed to be an easement on the site, too, I think, for potential future sidewalk.
The Speedway Drive?
Yeah, on the drive there, on the north side, or on the Waterstone side of the drive there. Now, we agreed not to require a sidewalk to be put in at the time, on a condition that the landscape plan be revised so that there would be room for a sidewalk and that there be an easement provided for a sidewalk to be there. So
we may need to go back and take a look and make sure all those things got done the way they were supposed to have done. But I think my recollection is that that was part of the action taken here. I would like to get a response from that one if I could, because I would agree with staff's comments about the layout on the site here in the smaller adjacent property. I've actually been in a Menards that on the inside is just like the Menards there, except everything is that way. I mean, the exact same floor plan, just totally reversed. I presume you've dealt, you know, sites like this in a lot of places. Would it be a big deal to reverse the layout of the site so that, as staff pointed out, that perhaps there might be some potential for sharing parking with a smaller development on the adjacent property, or is that just really not feasible?
I think the challenge for us is that there's an existing sanitary easement that runs across where this parking area is. You can kind of see it dotted here. And a challenge for us with that building in that area, pushing it forward and getting stacking through, it creates a challenge for us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'd be, you know, working with Menards. They also have adjacent land available on the other side. But, you know, if something would come in the future that we could, you know, cooperate and work with them on something, we'd be more than happy to do with that. I think for us the challenge was with this easement here and kind of trying to take advantage of that gable area in the building, the entrance here as well, closer to the parking. That's kind of some of the logic that we had.
Yeah. And unfortunately, according to the CSM, on the other side of that small parcel, yeah, there is land, but there's also an easement running through it, too. So, you know, there's challenges in there. But I thought we'd at least, I appreciate the suggestion of staff and thought we'd at least talk to follow up on that a little bit to see if it was workable, because yeah, that will make for a somewhat smaller.
Alderman Solomon.
I was just going to mention that in the future, Hiller Ford will probably buy that north section there, adjacent to them anyway. So if it's undevelopable, obviously they'll have their dollars in the water as far as that goes.
I have a question for Mr. Haley. What about the ornamentals? the rain trees and stuff.
Yeah, nice selection of shade trees, conifers.
How about kind of following up on what John was talking about for the backside? Could maybe some additional landscaping enhance the view from
that's,
or
that's what I was looking at. They're doing a significant amount of planting between the driveway and the backside of the building and Highway 100. It's going to make a difference. So I'm not sure from Highway 100 that you'll even be seeing much of that building, but I do like the idea of enhancing that architecture a little bit. They've got a significant amount of large trees that I think would help tie that to the
front.
One thing on your sign, it looks like you're going to have a neon sign there that can change messages. Don't make it like the Waterstone Bank. That is a completely useless and traffic-endangering sign. Make it like the one that's next to Culver's, the body shop that's over there. That one you can read. Can't read Waterstone Bank whatsoever. So as you come down Highway 100, take a look at that body shop there. And much, much nicer. Messages are readable. They don't change, you know, as fast. And it's much, much more pleasant on the eyes. The one at Waterstone Bank, I wouldn't want to approve anything like that again. Still can't read it.
We can follow up with the inspection department.
Yeah, exactly. Be sure that that gets done the right way.
What's been your experience to date with going through the departments? Do you have any problems? Anybody that?
No, I think the process has been well laid out and explained well, and I think we've had a good experience working with staff in the departments, and I think it's been a good process to get a project to this point.
About some comments on the LEED certification. It's the first one in the city. I thought that over the years I've been hearing that that's really where we should go. haven't heard any comments about this. Maybe, Mr. Deal, you could, for the record, tell the public, if anybody's listening, that what is that? What is LEED certification?
LEED certification is a, I believe it's a nonprofit group, which promotes more energy efficient building and site design, recycling of materials, a number of features to make buildings and sites more energy efficient, more sustainable, more pleasant overall to the environment. So it's a number of factors and criteria they look at, and it's like a point system. They have a long list of features that you could incorporate, and if you have enough of those incorporated into your site, you can become certified. Then there's silver, gold, and platinum are the higher levels. I believe that it's not easy to always meet LEED certification for a builder or developer. Some of those factors do cost extra money, but it is becoming more acceptable to builders. So if they are trying to make a statement, more builders are trying to do that. But I believe that in Franklin, this will be our first one.
Yeah, my understanding is it's something that every forward-thinking community in the world is trying to get developers to do, and here we go. It's the first one, so it's kind of sets the standard. And if they got the correct ornamental trees, you know, they're already there. So Feely's not really bugged up these.
Just a question for engineering regarding the landscaping along Highway 100, especially towards the northern part of the property. Do we know well enough at this point concerning the reconstruction of Highway 100 and any additional right-of-way that may be needed and a sidewalk going through there? Do we have the trees far enough away so that they won't have to be, you know, removed a few years down when that gets done? Or are the plans firm enough yet to even know that?
Check.
Well, we have 60% plans. 100% plans yet, but 60% plans, really there's not a big change.
And there will be sidewalks.
And that's another factor.
Yeah.
Obviously, even if the curb stays where it is, there's still going to be a sidewalk. There's probably going to be some, you know, area between the curb and the sidewalk. And then if they, you know, push the light of the road there a little bit, then that's going to push you just that much farther over. So I like the landscaping that you're doing here. I just don't want to have to remove it and start over again a few years down the road here. So if it's possible to know that.
I'll check that out. And in fact, I can copy that and that can go to the council with a recommendation.
Mr. Healy.
I can address that to some extent. Looking at the site plan, all the trees are well set back of the easternmost property line, and there's significant right-of-way. So none of these are located even close to the right-of-way, and I'm not sure on the dimension here, but they appear to be set well back. Any future widening of Highway 100 would stay pretty much in the existing right-of-way at this point. So I don't think we're going to have any issues, I guess, what I'm saying. They look like they've been pulled back in anticipation of that, but it would be worth following up on.
I just think that normally we would be giving 1,000 different suggestions, but it looks to me like the developer, the applicant, listened to the staff and listened to the alderman, and maybe even listened to me a little bit. And so it's like a very nice building to me. I know, like Alderman Skraski says, the businesses over there are eager to have you come in. They think the increase in the traffic is going to help them with their businesses. And Hiller Ford and Boucher are really looking forward to it.
You all read it.
So where do we go from here, Mr. Deedle?
There are two motions, one for the special use resolution and one for the CSM.
Why don't you do me a favor and read one of those?
Okay, the special use motion would be?
Mr. Ritter?
Pardon your mention?
Jesse put it in as one of the conditions in the special use resolution.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
I asked that question too. We've been doing it differently because most of the projects were in 27th Street.
So condition 7 then?
I said this at the CDA meeting, but I didn't say it here. That's that the city attorney could not be with us tonight. He is ill. So I did talk to him, though, and seems to be getting better. All right. Now, could you please read the motion?
Yep. So the city attorney crafted a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a gasoline service station, convenience store, and car wash use upon property located approximately 10750 West Speedway Drive.
Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved. Second.
Is there a move and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none, Alderman.
I was just going to ask a question on the resolution that Commissioner Mickley brought up about sidewalks. Looks like what you have internal to the site works. Do we want to pursue the issue of trying to get they and the bank to introduce sidewalks along Speedway Drive, or just leave bicycles there with the street?
I thought it was a pretty good suggestion.
It would be up to the Planning Commission. It fits well with what we're trying to do, both citywide and in this particular site. So it'll be up to you guys.
If Waterstone Bank has committed to doing that, ultimately that would find its way out to the intersection of Highway 100. It would be a good way in from the east to both of these sites, but it could then be extended further west.
Yeah. We didn't run across that, but we didn't check the approvals for the bank. We were only looking at this parcel.
Well, I would agree with doing that. I just don't know whether it belongs as part of this action or not, whether that should be something separate, because it's going to be on a separate parcel. I presume it's going to be up then to the Waterstone Bank property in order to deal with that. So I don't know that it's... If it belongs in this action, then yes, I would agree with doing it. If it does belong in this action, I would still, encourage staff to look into it and bring back whatever action would be appropriate to pursue that, or staff in consultation with engineering, whatever the appropriate procedure would be.
Okay. One thing I could note, though, if we did try to put a sidewalk, it probably would revise the landscaping, or would that sidewalk be within the road right away still?
Sidewalk in the road right away.
On Speedway, running on Speedway. Yeah, I would think that preferred.
So it would be doable for you guys?
I think,
Mr. Bennett,
I think if it was in the right away, I don't think it would be a problem for us.
I think maybe the time to look at putting a sidewalk on Speedway Drive would be at the time that sidewalk went in on Highway 100. And, I think, as I recall, what we did with the other, the approval for the bank is that they didn't need sidewalks this time, but in the future, when sidewalk became available on Highway 100, that then they would be required to pay. And we could special assess sidewalk on Speedway Drive, back special assess it wherever you want it. Commercial property, we do special assess sidewalk for commercial property. So the city's council action could be to put sidewalk on all or a part of Speedway Drive for special assessment.
I would ask, and I'm going to recognize Alderman Skronsky in a minute, is that we take up the first motion and then maybe to try and accomplish what John is bringing to the forefront. Take that up as a separate motion. So it doesn't get too convoluted.
If you want it as a motion, it would be separate, or you could add it as a condition. Either it would be High Commission's choice. But as a motion, separate.
Some of these long-winded motions, when we get to the council, nobody knows what they mean.
And that's another option, too, that we could let the council know about this and leave it up to them.
I mean, I just think it's simple just to recommend to the council the actions that you described, but take up the first motion that was written by our city attorney so that we would be precise and that would accomplish what needs to be accomplished.
I would agree with that. I would encourage staff to go back and look at that, the Waterstone Bank action, and see what was done there and make sure that we can accomplish what was intended there and that we'll be able to do the same thing along in front of the trip as well.
Okay.
Okay, and the original motion is read by Mr. Deedle. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. John, did you want to try and put a motion together?
This would be a separate motion. who then is responsible for the actual construction of the sidewalk?
Well, it's on city right of way, probably the city.
So it'd be the city. So the motion would be to consider when installing sidewalks on Highway 100 to ensure that a sidewalk is placed adjacent to the bank property and connected to the Quick Trip property.
I wouldn't put a sidewalk on
all over.
Even better.
Yeah.
Conditioned on adequate funding?
Conditioned on adequate funding.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. Under discussion, if there's no objection, I'd like to ask that we suspension of the rules to allow Alderman Skowronski to speak. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved. Second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say motion carries. Alderman Skowronski.
Yeah. At the time that this site was laid out when Menards bought it, sidewalk was agreed on the going down Highway 100. The problem you have on Speedway Drive, if you come down on the east side of Speedway Drive, coming down Waterstone Bank, going past Quick Trip, going past the vacant lot and the retention pond, beyond that point, you have very little to no space left because you have Burtweiser property with a cyclone fence that there's a very limited amount of room to put a sidewalk there. So before we make any recommendations on sidewalk, the sidewalk should be on the Menard side, which is a lot more space, much more conducive to people going down and through it, because as we're coming down, I don't have the other space here, but that space is not conducive to put that sidewalk on that side, because you've got two retention ponds there. One, that one retention pond takes care of all the property. At the time when this was all zoned on the north and the east side, even the vacant lot on the north side of Speedway Drive, and the other retention pond is to take care of Menards and the vacant lot off of Forestal Avenue. So there is adequate retention ponds, and that was all designed and put out at the time for commercial development. But that sidewalk on that side, I would be kind of cautious on putting it on that side. Highway 100 is great, I mean, in order to make it attach. But coming down, and I think a lot of us have driven on Speedway Drive, but that retention pond, and where it butts up to Burmeister, there's a very small sliver of area because you've got the drainages that goes through north to south, you've got the retention pond, and then you've got Burmeister with that chain link fence there. And they're very close. I don't know how much room you have in order to do that. So just, I think it's something that has to really be looked at, but I think the sidewalk should be at the first.
Yeah, I think the way the motion is phrased, it's a recommendation to the Common Council, and that's only after adequate funding is approved by the Common Council. So, so my guess is it probably, if this passes, it's not going to be accomplished by next week. Probably a little bit quicker than Mark can have.
2019 for Highway 100. So I hope it is.
All right, well, we got a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. We have to return to, is there a motion to return to regular order business?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying
aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say the motion carries. Commissioner Hill.
I was just going to suggest, we talked about the sidewalk along Highway 100, the landscaping along Speedway Drive, there's some existing trees and some proposed trees. We should probably look at the logical alignment for a future sidewalk in the right-of-way terrace and adjust the trees accordingly so we don't get into exactly what.
Well, they shouldn't be putting any trees.
No, there's trees in the right-of-way that were planted with the roadway, and then see the green ones?
The black and white are.
Those are existing.
And we planted those with.
And all I'm saying is we should revisit the location of those four green ones to make sure that they get shifted one way or the other to accommodate that walkway, so that if and when the walk goes in, we're not having to.
The walk will be 1 foot off the lot line.
Right. I'm suggesting that I would look at that again and make sure that there's sufficient room between the new plantings and the eastern edge of the sidewalk. It looks as if there is, but you're going to be threading the needle between two rows of trees.
Mr. White, or this is showing the exact lot line. He mentions it on the city. Probably you can see right away.
I'm thinking more from a grading slope intercept perspective that we're not leaving trees 18 inches above the curb, or that sidewalk works through there in the future if we move that constructed.
Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I have it. Motion carries. You have another motion?
Yes, this one is for the certified survey map. A motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a 2-outlot certified survey map, being a division of lots 2 and 3 of certified survey map number 7721, being a part of the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter of section 6 and part of the southwest quarter of the northwest quarter of section 5, all in town 5 north, range 21 east, in the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin.
Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing a nice, beautiful development to our city.
Welcome to the city.
Thank you. Thank you.
City of Franklin Complete Streets Connectivity Committee. Exactly.
Can we skip the Older Americans?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I actually put that on there, so I probably should do that. I went to the luncheon where this was put on by Stephanie Stein and her staff. Very, very informative. The reason I'm bringing it to your attention is there's been some news articles as well accompanying this. I can't find the bar chart, but right offhand, but I thought that
this one,
in this report, yeah, it speaks to Franklin as the by far the fastest growing community, aging population in Milwaukee County. I thought Oak Creek was about 56% increase within a certain time period. And let's see, Franklin is like 179%. I was asked by the press about that. I said, well, I think there's a number of people that, probably like myself, grew up on the northwest side of town, grew up on the north side, and got some starter homes, had some apartments, some things like that, and then decided that they were going to try and move to the city of Franklin, and then we'd have a lot of condominiums in the city where, for those of us that have knocked on many, many doors, you find out that people are probably 60 or better behind those doors. And then we also have the Brentwood, we have Harmony House, and we have the facility over on 68th Street. And we're very desirous. What is it?
74%?
Okay. We're a very desirous community to live in. We have low crime. We have plenty of green space. We have a lot of space. I said that our traffic counts are down, and when I was talking to the press, what I meant by that is that unlike, let's say, Capitol and Oakland, very narrow streets, high traffic volume, long lines, city of Milwaukee, traffic jams, all that stuff. People, when they get a little bit older, like me, don't like to necessarily negotiate all that stuff. I mean, I don't miss having to drive to the courthouse anymore. It's one of the biggest pains to drive home every night. Everyone that I know that worked down there lived in the suburbs didn't like it either. And so I think those are contributing factors. And then probably the largest factor is the current crime rate in the city, which is very low in comparison to our surrounding neighbors. And I did get a report today that the cougar is really the DNR specialist came in, and it's not a cougar; it's a very large dog. But outside of the large dogs with the paw prints that look like cougars, and a couple of fires and all that stuff, as we all know, Franklin's a pretty cool place to live and to retire to. But as a planning commission, we really need to start to take all this into consideration as to the type of community that we want to plan for. Take into consideration bike paths and kids and schools, but I don't know that we've really, really concentrated on a population that's almost one-third of this community. And according to this report, growing in leaps and bounds. So, and that you know, that may also constitute additional EMTs and paramedics and all those things. I know that it's in some of the reports, but this just jumps out with bar graphs and the stats that we already have one-third of our community that's over age 60. I personally think it's a good thing, but of course I am over 60.
Okay, considering that my doctor's office is right across the street and there's a big and saving target right down the road, I keep waiting for somebody to come over and build a nice senior condo project right on that land between the bank and the church, and that would be just, you know, really good.
You wouldn't even have to move.
No, exactly. Hey, why
you just walk over?
I can't drive. I can just
carry your suitcase over to
the district. You'd be in the same district?
Well, they can get a good alderman. But expanding on that, I think we talked a lot about the civic center area. And I think that perhaps that might present, because we've got a medical facility here, because we've got shopping available within reasonable distances, I think perhaps that's something that we could take a look at some point in the future and see what opportunities there might be, because that would be a very, you know, workable place, relatively short distances to the facilities that people need in their later years. And that might be an opportunity to revise the plan a little bit and see if we can target facilities that would take advantage of the needs of that, you know, that age group and the services that are already there.
John,
The combination of this and what happened last week in Greendale, elderly woman struck by a car, killed by a car. Car did not break any laws, but this is sort of the fractional planning kickback that you get when on one side of the street in Greendale you have a walkable downtown area that has facilities that the other side of the street where they built the elderly complex there, which is, she just wanted to get back across the street, there was something there in the middle that they didn't account for. And that road is built to go as fast as humanly possible, and that guy was delivering so fast you'll freak sandwiches. He was just doing what he's supposed to do, and he went through a green light, and he struck this woman. So if you want people to age in place, if you want them to feel that they can maneuver in a community, you have to think of those things, just like we were talking about here, where Speedway Drive is a different road now. Now that they're putting a convenience store there, and across from the convenience store, there's a strip mall that has restaurants and pizza, a little jump around place. That's a different road than it's ever been before. Everything's going to change now. And one of the great things I'm hearing, and you've heard the same, is because of this thing going on at the Rock. Going to pick up my son's bike tomorrow that I bought for him, and I've been talking to the guys at the bike shop, and they said people coming in ordering really expensive bikes because they want to get up on the Rock, and they're talking about it on Facebook and things like that. So we're going to have people out there on bikes. We want people, older Americans, to stick around. So I think every time we have a discussion about a facility like a Quick Trip going in, we have to make sure that we have that talk. How is this road now going to have to change to accommodate these people? Because that poor woman was just trying to get from one place made for her to another place made for her across a place not made for her at all. And that's the challenge we face. That's a big line right there.
Yeah, I would also, with what you're saying, that we have Brentwood, we have Harmony House, which is singing Christmas carols right now. But, you know, we talked about this development called Myers. People, even though they're very close to that, have a very difficult time getting there with wheelchairs or their motorized scooters or, I don't know, maybe golf carts or whatever. They certainly don't want to go out on Highway 36 to get there. So those are the types of things that we really need to start thinking about as a community, that we're not creating islands for one-third of our population.
Well, and it's not even to seniors. I mean, I'm pleased that our Highway 100 and Drexel Church, they did come in fairly recently and changed out the walk lights with the countdown lights, which
yep.
is good.
Excellent.
But twice, one time I was just near to get it. When I was in the wrong floor, crossing with the light, still nearly run down by somebody driving through and not watching. Other times, you know, I've gotten to where so I always look to see because there are people coming off Drexel when it's ready to go, and they're not looking for pedestrians at all. So I don't know whether it's an engineering solution or what it might be, but we want to encourage, you know, pedestrians to get out and walk and to be able to get across streets, but there are no studies. In fact, I live in a red yard in Chicago, more collisions between automobiles and pedestrians because too many drivers are just not attentive. They're just not paying attention. They're not expecting to be encountering pedestrians. They're looking for other vehicles. But they're looking at other traffic lanes and where those would come from. They're not looking for somebody who's about to step off the curb. And that's for somebody who's still relatively young enough to be able to dodge out of the road. The older you get, the more challenging you get it will become. And I know we'll see Highway 100 being reconstructed. So, I'm fully supportive of sidewalks along there. But the hope is that I'll bring more pedestrians, but then, you know, pedestrians and motor vehicles in the same proximity, as businesses. So, we certainly need to stay up on whatever opportunities that might be available to me across the streets, as safe as possible, whatever possible.
Just on going back to the rock, and I think it's anybody that's been over there, it's getting pretty exciting watching this thing come together. But, you know, we're going to have the kids, if it's anything like when I was growing up, we used to drive our bikes from 76th and Villard down to 51st and Villard for McGovern Park, for the pool. And I think this is going to be the same kind of draw if I can knock on wood. And we're going to have kids coming from Franklin, Greenfield, Hales Corners, all over the place. You know, very early, they're going to get there using their bikes as they came back to them. And then, maybe hitting the local gas station, John was talking about, restaurants and all that. So the time is it's coming very quickly, I think. We're going to see lots and lots of activity around.
I noticed that last year, specifically last year, because my grandson is out on his bike all over the city now with his buddies. And when we have the school pull the tennis lessons over here at Lions Legend Park, they use the facilities over there, there's kids on bikes coming all the way from 35th Street, all the way up Ross. They're coming down. It's unbelievable. And they're riding their bike, and they got their tennis racket strapped to their backpack. It's in the backpack, and down the road they go. I mean, it's a draw, and that's what's going to happen at the Rock. That, like John said, that's what's going to happen with all these condos over there at Quick Trip. I mean, it's going to be a lot of people walking around over there.
Yeah, I know when I played, when I was able to play tennis over at Greendale, the rec center over there, we were out on the courts, that whole area. Nothing but bicycles.
Yep.
Like kids coming to the baseball and the basketball, everything. So it's a good thing. Mr. Healy?
I was just going to add, I guess, sort of as a reminder that, especially as we get into complete streets and trails and connectivity, we need to think, you know, sidewalks are an important thing, and they provide accessibility, but trails, especially multi-use trails, we should be thinking not just of just making the connections, but wider, out of the right-of-way or meander or further away from the street, because these are not just bike trails. They're great for wheelchairs, scooters, all the other road lanes that can happen. And a sidewalk doesn't always accommodate that. It makes for a safer way through, but you can start beefing up the width and moving them away from traffic. You see our old trail, how much that gets used and how it's a connection between other things. But we can be doing that same thing in smaller segments to connect more to the city.
And bringing this back to where we started, which was with the senior market, I'll come back to the Civic Center area because the gem that that is right now, yeah, you've got Highway 100, which is a high traffic area on the west side. You've got Highway 36, high traffic area on the north side, on the east side. Drexel moves a lot of volumes from there, but within that, it's still pretty, you know, there's not a lot going on in there. It's still pretty serene, undeveloped. It presents an opportunity, like I say, with a medical facility, with food and general shopping and that sort of thing, that we could develop it in a way that would be more suited to pedestrian and lower velocity vehicular traffic, so that it would be safer for children and seniors, the people who need those extra considerations.
Yeah, I think the population, I was sitting at the table with all the county supervisors. In fact, I was sitting there with Chris Avely. Oh, that's my tie going there. I'm over 60. I'm entitled to this. You can't wear these until you're 60. I want to say that when I was sitting there with Chris Avely, I thought Franklin's senior population was almost 10,000.
Right then.
Plus 60 is 7,005. But then I thought they had, I thought there was another figure. I thought there were two more figures for over 70, over 75. It might be into more detailed report. I got a report that was about
7,000.
About this thick. I thought it was 10, like I read.
The last page.
It's the last page. So that's for 35,000?
Yeah.
One third of the population.
Wait, the Forest Village.
Yeah. Highlands.
Yeah, Highlands.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, while we as a community have did a pretty good job on the comprehensive master plan and all the meetings and things. But I think we were just trying to bring that together like other communities are trying to bring it under smart growth plans. When you look at this, I don't know that we concentrated or did enough for the senior population. And maybe some thoughts about the whole southwest quadrant of the city that's about ready to open up. Is that something that we want to continue striving for, or is it something that we want to avoid?
Well, the comprehensive master plan, we were planning for trails along all the waterways and all the rest of it. As a trail, not a sidewalk, a large trail, so many things could go on.
You know, one of the most dynamic communities in the United States, if not the world, is the Villages. So I've been there. Probably not exciting to you, but for some of us guys, it is. Yeah, Fuchs is going, whatever. Okay, yeah, your day would come. The kid in the room. Okay, I think we've eaten that up pretty good. How about Complete Streets Connectivity Committee?
Got a couple things for Complete Streets. First, we finally heard from the Safe Routes for Schools grant selection people, and we unfortunately did not get a grant. We were told we had a very competitive application. They granted 12 out of 56, so it wasn't by any means an easy one. So we're 50%. We got the other grant for the Pleasant View Trail. Just got to get that done. Another thing that happened between now and the last time I spoke about the committee is a joint meeting with the Board of Public Works, which, if you'll indulge me, was very interesting. First of all, I didn't know quite who the Board of Public Works was before I went in there, and I gave them the same presentation, more or less, that I gave here, shorter version of that. Statistics with citations, quotes from engineering people. I didn't throw anything out that was just hearsay. But I reviewed the recording, and we have members of the Board of Public Works who say, I just want to get from point A to point B as fast as possible. We have members who say, we have too many stop signs in this city. And they were talking about one in particular, and Alderman Solomon will have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were talking about the stop sign by Franklin School.
Built up.
And they were uncomfortable with that because it slowed them down. Not the whole community. I'm talking about certain members. One member in particular said that there is a Target in this city that he will never visit because there's a roundabout in front of it. So
I've heard that by Ford.
He also says that there are roundabouts, true roundabouts. We don't have a real roundabout. That's sort of a miniature roundabout. But there are roundabouts between where he works and his home. And he will go a mile, 2 miles out of his way to avoid the roundabouts. So the point I'm trying to make is some of the things that we say here that are encouraging to me, when we go to other committees, the main comment I get from them is, don't slow down our cars. We want to go as fast as possible. I was aghast. I was fascinated by these people, and it might be a matter of age. The second concern they had...
I thought maybe you were at an engineering conference, because that's how
engineering... There's a new breed of engineer. Ron Romines, for instance, is a great advocate. In fact, sat right in this seat here and was sure to correct everyone when they made some of these... At a certain point, the meeting became their meeting, and I could not interject at all, even though I had all the facts and the statistics at my disposal. I could not answer their questions or anything like that. So they were just throwing things out. And what became concerning to me, not that on a self-indulgent level, I enjoyed it. I would like to have those sorts of people. In fact, the person who was most chafed by this whole thing, I invited him to join the Complete Streets Committee. Because having a bunch of people just nod and say yes, I don't think is as effective as having somebody say, no, I don't believe what you just said, and then showing them why this thing is true, this statistic, this fact, why widening a road isn't always the best way to go. A couple individuals asked me point blank, does this mean you want to build a sidewalk in front of my house? Now, I can see a person on the street asking me that, but when you're on a board, a citizen board, I would have hoped they had a little more depth before that than, is this mean a sidewalk in front of my house? So we talked about context. We talked about commercial versus residential. In the end, the very, I would say, the resolution that we have drafted is a statement of intent more than anything else. It doesn't mandate anything. It doesn't put any burden on any possible development or commercial interest at all. They actually voted against this resolution, against recommending the resolution to the Common Council. So at that point, I thought it was done and just send it along to the Common Council, and they could go on record as being against this thing. They chose to bring it up for discussion at their next meeting. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend. The good news is more than one member of that particular board was very interested in Complete Streets and sought me out for information, gave them a bunch of information. And they did submit some suggestions for the resolution. So I guess when they voted against it, they actually tabled it for further discussion, if you're more specific about it. And they see that there's something there. But just something to be aware of. Maybe I'm in a cocoon that you guys aren't in because you go to different meetings. It's some of the things that we seem to have some consensus on here isn't shared in all the committees at this point. And that may be something we have to work on. I don't want to hear a member of a committee that has input on street signage and possible trails and sidewalks say, I just want to get from A to B as fast as humanly possible.
I just have to tell you that I work with not the guy to my right, but other directors of public works for large counties, and it was up to me upset while we're waiting for the unions to respond to our last proposal or something. You know, we'll tell them, and the conversation was like, you know, I don't know why we have to have any stop and go lights. I don't know why we have to have stop zones. There shouldn't be any. We should have super highways and the Autobahn, and that would be their goal. It's just the flow of traffic.
Well,
and
it becomes...
And these are some of the... many of them are in the consulting business, and they're sought out all the time. So I just think it's a thought process.
Well, there's a corollary to both medicine and plumbing in that anybody here who has a very elder parent, for instance, will find this, unfortunately, that you'll get into a situation where the doctor wants to win. They want to be a hero and get this thing done. So you may have a parent who has all sorts of other ancillary problems, but they're gonna recommend this heart surgery because I can do it. And of course, she's gonna come out of that heart surgery probably not as strong as she went in, but I'm going to do it because I can. Some engineers, fortunately we have a city engineer who's an avid bike rider, so we've got that going for us, but some engineers have never been on a bike, and they want to win. And a win is, there's these graphs that they go by, and if I make this road this thick and this wide, then I get this many cars through. When a plumber comes into your house, a plumber does not put the pipes in so the water gets a scenic view. Put the pipe in so the water gets in and out as quickly and efficiently as possible. So there's a lot of plumbers out there putting these streets together. The plumbing mentality is fine when you're in a hurry to get home. Tonight, you know, I'll be happy that we have roads that are clear and wide and I'm going to get through. But when, and I use this, this as an example, I put some pictures up. I live across the street from Franklin High School. My daughter goes to Franklin High School. This morning I drove her to Franklin High School. That shouldn't be. And the fact that I'm doing that, and the fact that I had to pick her up in the afternoon, if you've ever done that, you've been to Disneyland, you know, you go in and they have that. I went in there not knowing how this procedure was going to go. I go in and there's a woman out front and there's ropes, and the woman points that way for buses, and that's the front area. And then the other way is the parking lot. That's where you go. And you don't know what you're getting into when you go in there. You're going into this haunted house.
And you can't get out.
Yeah. So I go in and I find out, just like at Disneyland, because they don't show you that zigzag till you're I get in there and I see that the line is a zigzag through the parking lot, multi-lane, with no rules. So some people zip ahead, some don't. Kids get in and out of the car willy-nilly, at random, all over the place. Coming out of nowhere, they're getting into cars, and now that car has their kid. One kid, by the way, I watched. I picked up one kid. I didn't pick up more than one. I'm as guilty as anyone else. Now they got their kid. They don't want to stay there anymore. They want to zip out of there as fast as possible. So there's all this strange crawling around in there. That kind of thing, when at the end of the day, they all got in and they all got out. But during the process, there's a lot of angry people. A lot of people really, and we're a concealed carry state now. So you gotta watch it when you're merging and stuff. So I sometimes wonder how that can happen when the conversations we have here seem to be in the whole other direction. But maybe that's why things like that happen.
Yeah,
Well, but now's your big chance. And they're going to redesign and reconstruct. They're going to add classroom space and an auditorium. They're going to change the parking lots and the traffic. So this is your time to go to the high school and sit down and focus and get your 2 cents worth and make some improvements. And, you know, this is very timely. I'm glad you went and had that experience because that's all going to be changed. It's in the design phase now. So this would be a great time to get engaged.
And I think maybe everyone should get in that line. Get in that line one time. And you can talk about one of the members of the board said I'm a fat guy and I don't mind being fat because I brought up fitness for 2 seconds. I brought up the fitness aspect of it, and you can talk about that. You can talk about I want my daughter to be able to make that short walk and not have to put me into a line like that, but. When you're actually in the middle of it, if I take these guys with me and I say, this is what parents are doing every day, and this is, look how big the parking lot has to be for a high school. Everybody's got a car, even the people on the other side of the neighborhood. Maybe that'll change some attitudes.
I would just, because I know, well, they're my appointees, and been before that board as an alderman, and I've watched them work. Many, many times they are confronted with road projects, the Marquette Avenue issue was in front of them. They had for and against, and then on top of that, they had to go and convince the finance committee members that what they're saying was just and reasonable and right, and then convince the finance committee to forward their recommendations, which were almost always hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. And to get to the common council, and then maybe some of us might change their mind, or we may not see it the same way. So, I guess what I'm saying is that they've been through the wars many times. The same commissioners, I know when I went in to ask for some stop signs and stuff, which is going, it's needless, don't put them in. And then they had to go through a whole policy. In fact, I brought the policy. So, some of the folks there have been doing it for
too long.
10 years, 15 years.
Too long.
See, I don't agree. But,
well, I think a little bit, too, is that they're probably filled with threat. Well, here's another committee coming in that's going to have something to do with this. So I think some of them feel a little threat.
Taking their territory.
The reality is any community, they're going to be different. There's a priority. That part of what a community is. And we managed to get things done. And I think hopefully there's more momentum building for complete streets and more trails and paths, things like that. And there's a lot of people, it's just a matter of how do we get there. And this is a great time because we've got the new sewer going into a part of the city that hasn't had it before, so the opportunity for developers there. Retrofitting, yeah, if they realize retrofitting things into the existing part of the community is a challenging thing. But it's great that we've got so much of the city left, that can be developed. And it's great that we have the opening trail, because that has shown just how popular and how useful and valuable that can be in this community.
The new interim chairman for the Board of Public Works called me up and asked me about this subject. So just thinking it might be a good idea for you and myself and Tim to go ahead and come across Mr. Webster. One of the things, the paramount issue in all of this is all great, this is wonderful, this is fantastic. It's like parks. We want to buy parks, we want to have them. It gets down to a matter of money and priorities. And where are we going to start? Do we have a workable budget? Right now, I don't know that we have much of a budget at all for this. But is it a policy we're seeking through the resolution, or as an ordinance? Ordinances are, that's the law. I mean, I would hope that we're going more for a policy. I was going to say, just like our comprehensive master plan for our parks, I mean, we've got great plans, but unless we come up with bucks, we can't buy any of the parks. So I think that's a major concern of theirs. But Mr. Webster and I have had a lot of meetings as kids, a couple of the kids are Eagle Scouts. It's a really nice gentleman. So I should go to Starbucks or something.
trying to say that I don't know if things have changed.
I got to go there. We are.
I think sometimes we put emphasis on it, but if you look back to the 1970s, we designed neighborhoods. We had neighborhoods with the whole idea that that the kids wouldn't have to walk past a major arterial street to get the neighborhood. We had 26 neighborhoods designed for the city, and they would have a neighborhood school. But that's the one thing that ties a neighborhood together is a school, plus an adjacent park site to use it. So we had the whole city divided up 26 neighborhoods where you didn't have to cross a boundary, a natural boundary, like an arterial street. And that was good, except then the school district said, well, we're going to bus things. We're not really, we don't want to build 26 elementary schools. So we really ended up abandoning that. But I don't think there's anything new. I think we're just putting emphasis on. You should have a balance between your streets. You've got freeways where you get people from one place to another place the fastest possible, and that's a freeway. And you have a local street that serves the neighborhood. That should be the most important thing, is to provide service to that neighborhood and not be a high-speed thing. So, I mean, I don't know if that things, I mean, you've gotten into this rather new. I've been at this for 50 years. And I don't think anything's changed. Maybe emphasis, and we've done complete streets, but I've always been an advocate of sidewalks. I think sometimes we've got to train the elected officials, because a lot of times, Countryside Estates, they knocked all the sidewalks out of Countryside Estates because the alderman didn't want it. The developer paid for them.
I would argue that some things have changed. A lot has stayed the same, but some things have changed. For instance, where people work. It used to be everybody, you called them bedroom suburbs because everybody went out and then they came back. And now we see corporate headquarters, we would hope, coming out to the suburbs. So the direction, it's going the other direction. People staying at home to work. Not yet. People staying at home to work. People choosing communities where they can, if they stay at home to work, They have a walkable access for their kids and for themselves to get places. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, people weren't really thinking about that. I bought my house. I looked at the size of the backyard. I had the inspector tell me that the house was well put together, and it had some trees. I'm in. People.
50 years ago, we had neighborhood grocery stores. We had people walking a whole lot more 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people walking now because there isn't anything like a neighborhood grocery store or a meat market. And that, you drive to the big supermarkets. So I would say we're moving back to where we were maybe 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And
so, I mean, it's not new. It's cycling.
And some people will make that argument that, well, this sort of development is the way things should be developed because, look, that's where people live. But that's the choices they were given. And when you give people a different choice, Middleton Hills is a different choice, things like that, look at the home values there. I mean, that's a plus and a minus. The home values are going way up, which is great. Unfortunately, a regular human being, middle class income, is going to have a tough time getting into that sort of an environment. If you have a community that doesn't legislate a certain way to build, but certainly creates an open atmosphere. We are open to it. We understand it. We'll get you through it. We'll make it a little easier for you if you are able to offer this, or this. I mean, this. What we looked at today, we saw the inverse of what Andy's is. Andy's has all the pumps just thrown out in the front, and you can't, as a walking human being, you can't access Andy's without really taking your life in your own hand because there's a turn-in that's really quick right there. They came in with pumps in the back, hides it from the main road. I mean, that's a small step, but that's something that they came in because they felt this community can deal with that. So if you have an ordinance that says, if, then, and makes a developer feel comfortable with the if, then, they're going to propose a better job. They're going to propose something a little more accessible to the elderly, to people who can't drive, to the disabled, to kids. If we want business to thrive, for instance, at Andy's, if we want Andy's to have an ice cream shop next door, you got to do these little things like put in a sidewalk like we did. Now, maybe that's the igniter right there, that the neighborhood can now take a walk down to Andrews.
But if you don't, one of the worst things in government is putting laws in place that everybody knows are not going to be enforced and that they have no backing, they have no financial backing. Policies are at least, they're flexible. We're able to do things. What I found out the last 30 years or so, you put ordinances in place, you really do not have the full backing of both the government and the people, those things collect dust. They go over there and nobody enforces it. It's one of the worst things that can happen. When the chairman called me, basically asked me, do I support this? Yes, I do. I think it's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. But everything in government revolves around funding and priorities. So policies you can move around. I think the Rock, I shouldn't put his name, I'll probably do it. I just think the Rock is the thing that we've been waiting for all of these years. It's going to be the center of the community. We're going to have people. That's going to be our meeting spot. So everybody's going to be there. And you're going to have the momentum from that to get things done that could never be done before. You brought several years ago the intersection of 76th and Ross up and how dangerous it is. Actually, I remember Ted Grinch is bringing up the same thing about that intersection. If we get the number of kids that are going to be going over on bikes, it's not a matter of we're thinking it anymore. We've got to get this. We have to get it to be as safe as we possibly can. And if the kids are coming off Crystal Ridge Drive over there, and they're going to scoot down across the street and then come across that bridge and then go over by Pantheon and all that, we also have to make that as safe. Or if they're going up Highway 36, I mean, I know we have bike lanes up along there, but people going 60 miles an hour next to a bicyclist is probably not a good thing. So what I'm saying is I think that it's going to be the catalyst, and it's going to have so much momentum that it's going to, things that you're trying to accomplish, your group's trying to accomplish, I think are going to happen. They're going to happen rapidly. But, you know, the other thing is, and I'm only speaking for myself, but sometimes these proposals, policies come in from the county councils and these boards and commissions that have been in place for a long time. They don't know if that's a flash in the pan. They don't know if they should spend any time on it. Because the following week, next bunch of aldermen come in and they go, yeah, you know what? You've never experienced that.
And then, the last thing on my list is that we are actually short members.
Yeah,
we don't have.
I'm waiting for. I'm looking for some names.
So we have one. I think it's a woman on the senior walking group who was willing to join, but we gotta find members.
Well, and I would like to have members that are going to be in sync with your group, because I think what your group is working on is really, really important. We just touched on all of that tonight.
Well, if nothing else.
So if you've got any themes.
And the point I was trying to put across to the people I was talking to was that the discussion we had right now was because we're in that context. The context has been created, whereas before that context probably didn't exist. So sometimes it's not a matter of rule of law or resolution. It's a matter of just having that awareness at every step of the development process. You know, I look at the notes from staff for this development, and right in the notes it said, let's take care of the pedestrians. Let's make sure that we have a path or a sidewalk that, so people can get in and out. So that's like you say, half the battle is having the awareness, having the context where it didn't exist before.
So the risk of talking from Jack has been around for a few years. You know, if you know that you've got the backing of the mayor, and you have the backing of the majority of the common council on an issue, and they're willing to fund it, to continue to fund it, the staff is not going to deviate one bit. They're going to do everything they possibly can to accomplish what the council wants. That's been my experience. So I think you've got your committee has got the
support for the policies. Now, financial support, it's going to compete against 27th Street. It's going to compete against, you know, maybe a community center. It's going to compete against park improvements, right? It's going to compete against police officers, firefighters, all that stuff. So, welcome to government. All right. Anything else?
That's it for me.
And if you want to, or ice cream would be good too. Ice cream or coffee?
Ice. Saturday it's ice cream.
Okay. All right. Next one is what? Citywide? Nothing. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Second.
All right. So it's been seconded. Once again, I would wish all of you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's. You and yours, and thank you for all the good work you've done for the people of Franklin. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.